This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
College football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Frisco Forth, John Chuckery on this Saturday morning. Time for us to head out on the waitfor.com hotline. We say good morning to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, dognation.com. Mike hanging out with us for a few minutes today as we talk a little bit of college football, and we go around the SEC as we do every Saturday with Mike. I want to start with this, and I don't know that it comes as a huge surprise, Mike, but I know that it's been talked about. But SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey saying this week that the divisions will go away. There's not going to be a 4-team pod, that the SEC is leaning towards just 16 teams. And you take the two best, and that's who plays in the SEC championship game. Your thoughts on that model, if that's the way the SEC ends up going?
Yeah, reiterated is probably the best way to say it. He said the same things in Birmingham, but it feels like we were talking about 100 other things, and we probably didn't listen real closely. But he reiterated that. This is kind of the way it's been trending for a while, so it's not really news, and it's not official yet either. I mean, it's not a done deal, but, you know, this is all predicated on the 12-team playoff and the SEC going to a 9-game schedule. And you know, there's a couple of reasons for it, primarily – you know, you want to play, you know, you want the schools to play each other as much as possible. Maybe, you know, right now you've got, you know, all your divisional teams that you play plus, you know, one crossover opponent, and you really only rotate two teams. And so you don't really see these teams play one another sometimes for, you know, 10, 12 years. And I think everyone agrees in the league that they want to see, you know, teams play one another more. I mean, Georgia still hasn't been to Texas A&M. I know that really grinds the gears of some Bulldogs fans, but it's not that great a place, by the way. Stadium is pretty awesome, but you're really not missing that much in College Station. Real hard to get to. I think that's the impetus for it. And, you know, it'll happen once we see the 12-team playoff, whether that's 2024 or 2026. Depends on if the Rose Bowl will get off the pot and move the January 1st, necessity that they're putting on their game and kind of get with the rest of the other six bowls that are in the New Year's Six. Otherwise, we'll have to wait till 2026 for the playoffs. So that's what's holding everything up. And you know, once we go to the 12-team playoff, then the SEC goes to the 9-game schedule, and then they go to the one-division model, more than likely.
Mike, I'm going to make you an NFL GM. You have to draft either Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. Based upon what you've seen, which one of those two guys would you take?
Is Jalen Carter not an option for my team?
Nope. Okay. You got to draft one of those two quarterbacks.
You know, it depends on my situation. If I need somebody to play right away, I'd probably go Levis. But if I've got an established starter and I've got the luxury of bringing Anthony along, I think he's got the higher NFL ceiling. So, you know, that would be my answer because, you know, Levis has been around the block in the college 4 years. And you know, Anthony's only, a third-year redshirt sophomore. I'm not sure Anthony's coming out. You know, the sources that I have say he's definitely going back. Now, I guess we'll wait and see. It's kind of a new model, though, right, with the NIL. I mean, the question is how much is Florida going to pay him to come back? And that's going to be key.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is we talk college football with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Mike hanging with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Mike, your thoughts on the rumors surrounding Lane Kiffin and a possible move to Auburn. Where do you think Kiffin's coaching at next year?
I think he'll be at Ole Miss. I think he'll get a nice raise out of this, and I think he needs Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss needs him. I don't think he's a good fit for Auburn. I think Auburn, you know, Matt Rhule, will, you know, could be the guy, you know, that checks all the boxes that everybody can agree on. Or, you know, I guess we'll see how Cadillac Williams finishes the season. They've got an upset special there today. Keep an eye on. I mean, Western Kentucky is pretty good offense and can pretty explosive. But and who knows? I don't know if Auburn will win that game or not. But I'm just saying that's one of the games I kind of got circled to kind of check the scoreboard on today. But I don't see it happening, guys. I don't see Lane Kiffin going to Auburn.
Mike, Georgia's kind of in a weird place right now. They've obviously clinched the SEC title berth. And you've got a game today against a team that I don't think can beat Georgia, even if Georgia plays bad. I still don't think Kentucky can beat Georgia. I certainly know next week that team can't beat Georgia, even if they play awful. It's just kind of a weird scenario right now, it feels like, for Georgia of just, you know, you're just, I don't know, you're trying to make sure everybody stays healthy. You're not trying to get anybody hurt these next couple of weeks. But you don't feel like that these are games that this team can really lose right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the conventional wisdom, but that's really not how that team's built. It's really not how Kirby thinks or how those guys think. I mean, you know, they're dialed in. I mean, this team's not good enough to have that luxury, okay? That's not Joe Burrow playing quarterback. You know, that's not Nick Chubb running the ball. You know, they don't get me wrong, they got some talent, but they were down 10 at Missouri on the road not too long ago, okay? So, and they know that. And they know they got to keep getting better. And they know that, as Kirby calls it, you know, their competitive DNA, like they're bought in on that, guys. I mean, that's not coach speak over there. That place is run tight. And it's, I mean, real tight. It reminds, you know, and again, I never, ever do anything to lessen the importance and the sacrifice of people that serve. So when I make a military comparison, and I served myself, so I don't want anybody to get offended, but it really reminds me of being in Columbus, you know, down there at Fort Benning, in terms of the intensity of the training that we had in our airborne school back in the day. And I mean, there's no BS, man. I mean, if you don't show up one day, you not only lose your job, you might lose your scholarship. It's different over there. I've never seen a program run that tight. And you guys know I've been around some really good ones, but with the kind of talent that Kirby recruits, and the kind of goals that they set, and the kind of coaches that they have, I mean, that place is, you know, for those guys, they're mentally exhausted. The biggest danger to Georgia is that the kids get mentally exhausted because it is so tough and it's so hard, and it's not for everybody. But so when that lion comes out of the cage on Saturday, they're not thinking about 2 weeks from now or not getting hurt or what they have to do. That is not the way that team is built. I can tell you that.
Mike Griffith, DogNation.com, hanging with us here on College Football Game Time. Mike, I always appreciate your willingness to kind of bounce around college football in the 80 million different directions we tend to pull you when you're on with us. And I want to go to the college football playoff here for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
That battle for maybe that last spot. If you put Southern Cal and Tennessee on a neutral field, who wins?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you look at the resumes, and if Southern Cal wins out and beats at UCLA and beats Notre Dame at home and then beats probably the winner of today's Oregon-Utah game, they'll have three or four wins against top 25 teams. And their resume will look a lot different than it does now. So to your question, I don't know, but that question doesn't matter. What matters to this committee, and we saw this in 2018, is the importance of championship games, right? Georgia 2018 would have drilled 2018 Oklahoma. Georgia played Alabama pretty much even in the SEC championship game, if you remember. That was the best Alabama team in the regular season in history. They'd beat everybody by 20 points that season. It hadn't happened since the 1800s in college football with a healthy Tua, right? But Oklahoma got the bid because they said they default to protocol, which is if the teams are close enough, they're going to refer back to conference champion. So when Oklahoma played Alabama, I'll refresh your memory, they were down 28-0 in 16 minutes. Okay. So it's not about who would beat who. Theoretically, you'd say four best, but in practice, no. Especially now with the conference commissioners drawing closer on this 12-team playoff. conference championship games aren't going to matter, then why play them? So if you win a conference championship game while another team is sitting at home twiddling their thumbs, you get a bump, and I think it's a deserved bump. I still think Georgia got the run to the deal in 2017. I still don't think Alabama should have gotten in after losing by double digits to Auburn in the last regular season game. Now, they were one of the four, but were they one of the four most deserving, right? Now, you say, well, Alabama won, and that proves, well, Alabama drew a bad Clemson team and got to fly 40 minutes to New Orleans, and Georgia got shipped out west for the best Oklahoma team of the millennium and a six-hour, you know, travel back and forth and you know, lost a guy to injury playing an extra game that Alabama didn't have to lose. We keep going down that trail. So that's a sidebar. But here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. If USC and TCU went out, they're in. Make no mistake about it. They're obviously an undefeated TCU's in. And if USC wins out and is a Pac-12 conference champion, they will absolutely get in over Tennessee. Tennessee needs one of those two teams to lose, period. The good news for Tennessee is I think both of them are going to lose. I think USC is going to lose, and I think TCU is going to lose another game. And I not only think Tennessee is going to get in, but I think they're going to get in as the number three seed. And the real discussion we're going to be having is who deserves the four. If Ohio State beats Michigan, you're looking at a one-loss Michigan versus a one-loss Clemson that wins the ACC. You might say Michigan's better, but Michigan ain't played nobody. They only got one top 25 win. Clemson, ACC conference champion. Clemson gets the nod. Flip side, if Michigan beats Ohio State, it's a one-loss Ohio State sitting there with a one-loss Clemson. Ohio State gets the nod. Why? Because Ohio State beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame beat Clemson. So there's a few scenarios for you.
Mike, last thing from me. With Milton, McIntosh, Edwards, Robinson, how's Georgia kind of sorting out the running back room right now as far as splitting up and dividing carries?
Well, I mean, McIntosh has been the number one all year. I mean, he's their best running back. He's their most versatile running back. And Kirby's had to kind of, you know, they were limping along with only three scholarship running backs. So you weren't seeing Kenny get a ton of carries because he had to get Kenny to November. You weren't going to beat him up with 20 and 25 carries in September and October, knowing that all you had other than him was Dejon and Robinson. Neither one of those guys are nearly as good as him catching the football. Certainly not as versatile, not as good in pass protection. So now you got Kendall back. That's good. I think Kendall gets more of the goal line designated carries, kind of like the Zamir White role inside the 10. You know, everybody, oh, Zamir at 22. He's the only one to get the ball to, folks. Del McKee's trying to recruit the next guy by building up his numbers. And now that's going to be Kendall, right? Because you want Kendall to come back and not transfer. So you better give him some sugar and get him some scoring opportunities. Kenny's going to be balanced. Kendall's going to get the end zone runs. And Dejon's going to be in there to churn it out. And, you know, and the freshman, Branson, will get, you know, he'll get a few carries here and there to keep him fresh and ready, you know, in the mix. And that's probably how it'll churn out.
Let's talk a little Georgia football here to continue talking Georgia football here to finish up with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Mike, your thoughts? I know you wrote about it this week on Dog Nation, the impact that the cold weather today at Kentucky could have on Georgia, in particular this Georgia offense.
Well, I mean, it favors Kentucky. I don't know that it favors it enough for Kentucky to win the game, but I think it's certainly, you know, when you've got a great defense like Georgia has, you don't have to take as many chances on offense, right? And we've seen that with Kirby, right? When he had Jake Fromm, I mean, Jake could have been prolific, but the only time we ever really saw Jake light it up was when he had to against Alabama, and he did. By the way, he was very good in those two-minute offenses and in those games against Alabama. So, you know, Kirby's, you know, kind of a throwback coach, you know, only need as much offense, you know, only as much as we need. You saw that against Tennessee. I mean, they were drilling Tennessee's eyeballs out. It's 24-6. They only ran the ball. They only threw the ball four times in the second half, only once in the fourth quarter, because they just wanted to run clock. They knew they had a defense. Tennessee wasn't going to do anything. So they weren't going to do anything either. Why take chances when you throw the ball, right? Three things can happen and two of them are bad. I think you'll see more of that today. You know, and Kentucky's obviously even less of a threat. That said, I think Will Levis, you know, I think he probably, you know, is probably a little more capable of piercing the wind on some of those intermediate throws. You think about Stetson's deep ball. It's hung up there pretty high. I don't think you want to be throwing that one a lot today. So I think you'll see a lot of run plays, especially from Georgia. I think field position is going to be important. Kirby has stressed third downs and red zone, which tells you what kind of game he thinks it's going to be. So today's the key words today is turnovers and efficiency. And if Georgia doesn't turn the ball over and they're efficient, this is a game they should pound out, probably somewhat like they did last year, you know, 30 to whatever Kentucky gets. I think they scored on the last play of the game last year, so 30-13 was the score last year. You're probably looking at something like that.
Mike Griffith, DogNation.com. Mike, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.